Merlin threw back his head and laughed. His conical cap stayed on, which Tim thought was magical in itself. Nay, not he. Little magic and long life's all he's capable of. No, Tim, there's one far greater than he of the broad cloak. When the Great One points his finger from where he bides, the broad cloak scurries. But sending you was none of the Red King's bidding, and the one you call the Covenant Man will pay for his foolery, I'm sure. He's too valuable to kill, but to hurt? To punish? Aye, I think so. What will he do to him, this Red King? Best not to know, but of one thing you can be sure, no one in Tree will ever see him again. His tax-collecting days are finally over. And will my mother? Will she really be able to see again? Aye, for you have done me fine, nor will I be the last you'll serve in your life. He pointed at Tim's belt. That's only the first gun you'll wear, and the lightest. Tim looked at the foreshot, but it was his father's axe he took from his belt. Guns are not for such as me, Si. I'm just a village boy. I'll be a woodcutter like my father. Tree's my place, and I'll stay there. The old mage looked at him shrewdly. You say so, with the axe in your hand. But would you say so if 'twas the gun? Would your heart say so? Don't answer, for I see the truth in your eyes. Ka will take you far from Tree Village.
But I love it, Tim whispered.
Thee'll bide there yet a while, so be not fashed, but hear me well and obey. He put his hands on his knees and leaned his tall, scrawny body toward Tim. His beard lashed in the dying wind, and the jewels caught in it flickered like fire. His face was gaunt, like the Covenant Man's, but illuminated by gravity instead of malicious humor, and by kindness rather than cruelty. When you return to your cottage, a trip that will be much faster than the one you made to get here and far less risky, you will go to your mother and put the last drops from the bottle in her eyes. Then you must give thy father's axe to her. Do you understand me? His coin you'll wear all your life. You'll be buried with it yet around your neck. But give the axe to thy mother. Do it at once.
Why?
The wild tangle of Merlin's brows drew together. His mouth turned down at the corners. Suddenly the kindness was gone, replaced by a frightening obduracy. Not yours to ask, boy. When Ka comes, it comes like the wind, like the Stark Blast. Will you obey?
Yes, Tim said, frightened. I'll give it to her, as you say.
Good. The mage turned to the sheet beneath which they had slept and raised his hands over it. The end near the cage flipped up with a brisk ruffling sound, folded over, and was suddenly half the size it had been. It flipped up again and became the size of a tablecloth. Tim thought the women of Tree would much like to have magic like that when beds were needed to be made, and wondered if such an idea were blasphemy.
No, I'm sure you're right, Merlin said absently, but 'twould go wrong and cause hijinks. Magic's full of tricks, even for an old fellow like me.
Si, is it true you live backwards in time?
Merlin raised his hands in amused irritation. The sleeves of his robe slipped back, revealing arms as thin and white as birch branches.
Everyone thinks so, and if I said different, they'd still think it, wouldn't they? I live as I live, Tim, and the truth is I'm mostly retired these days. Have you also heard about my magical house in the woods?
Aye.
And if I told you, I lived in a cave with nothing but a single table and a pallet on the floor, and if you told others that, would they believe you?
Tim considered this and shook his head.
No, they wouldn't. I doubt folk will believe I met you at all.
That's their business. As for yours, are you ready to go back?
May I ask one more question?
The mage raised a single finger.
Only one. For I've been here many long years in yon cage, which you see keeps its place to the very inch in spite of how hard the wind blew, and I'm tired of shitting in that hole. Living monk simple is all very fine, but there's a limit. Ask your question.
How did the Red King catch thee?
He can't catch anyone, Tim. He's himself caught, pent at the top of the Dark Tower. But he has his powers, and he has his emissaries. The one you met is far from the greatest of them. A man came to my cave,
I was fooled into believing he was a wandering peddler, for his magic was strong. Magic lent to him by the king, as you must ken. Tim risked another question. Magic stronger than yours? Nay, but... Merlin sighed and looked up at the morning sky. Tim was astounded to realize that the magician was embarrassed.
I was drunk.
Oh, Tim said in a small voice. He could think of nothing else to say. Enough palaver, said the mage. Sit on the dibbin. Merlin gestured at what was sometimes a napkin, sometimes a sheet, and was now a tablecloth. That, and don't worry about dirtying it with your boots. It's been used by many far more travel-stained than thee. Tim had been worried about exactly that, but he stepped onto the tablecloth and then sat down. Now the feather. Take it in your hands. It's from the tail of Garuda, the eagle who guards the other end of this beam, or so I was told, although as a wee one myself. Yes, I was once wee, Tim, son of Jack. I was also told that babies were found under cabbages in the garden. Tim barely heard this. He took the feather, which the tiger had saved from flying away into the wind, and held it. Merlin regarded him from beneath his tall yellow cap. When thee gets home, what's the first thing thee'll do? Put the drops in Mama's eyes. Good. And the second? Give her my Da's axe. Don't forget. The old man leaned forward and kissed Tim's brow. For a moment, the whole world flared as brilliantly in the boy's eyes as the stars at the height of the Stark Blast. For a moment, it was all there. "Thee's a brave boy with a stout heart, as others will see and come to call you. Now go with my thanks and fly away home."
Fly? How?
How does thee walk? Just think of it. Think of home. A thousand wrinkles flowed from the corners of the old man's eyes as he broke into a radiant grin. For, as someone or other famous once said, there's no place like home. See it. See it very well. So, Tim thought of the cottage where he had grown up, and the room where he had all his life fallen asleep listening to the wind outside, telling its stories of other places and other lives. He thought of the barn where Misty and Bitsy were stabled and hoped someone was feeding them. Straw Willem, perhaps. He thought of the spring where he had drawn so many buckets of water. He thought most of all of his mother, her sturdy body with its wide shoulders, her chestnut hair, her eyes when they had been full of laughter instead of worry and woe. He thought, "How I miss you, Mama." And when he did, the tablecloth rose from the rocky ground and hovered over its shadow. Tim gasped. The cloth rocked, then turned. Now he was higher than Merlin's cap, and the magician had to look up at him.
"What if I fall?" Tim cried.
Merlin laughed. "Sooner or later we all do. For now, hold tight to the feather. The dibbin won't spill thee, so just hold tight to the feather and think of home." Tim clutched it before him and thought of Tree, the high street, the smithy with the burial parlor between it and the cemetery, the farms, the sawmill by the river, the widow's cottage, and, most of all, his own plot and place. The dibbin rose higher, floated above the Dogon for several moments, as if deciding, then headed south along the track of the Stark Blast. It moved slowly at first, but when its shadow fell over the tangled, frost-rimed deadfalls that had lately been a million acres of virgin forest, it began to go faster. A terrible thought came to Tim. What if the Stark Blast had rolled over Tree, freezing it solid and killing everyone, including Nell Ross? He turned to call his question back to Merlin, but Merlin was already gone. Tim saw him once more, but when that happened, Tim was an old man himself, and that is a story for another day.